or hiking up the price of local goods. And Abigail Adams wrote a very funny letter to John. A number of females, some say 100, some say more, assembled with a cart and trucks, marched down to the warehouse and demanded the keys, which he refused to deliver, upon which one of them seized him by his neck and tossed him into the cart. He delivered the keys when they tipped up the cart and discharged him, then opened the warehouse, hoisted out the coffee themselves, put it into the trucks, and drove off. It was reported he had a spanking among them, but I believe this was not true. A large concourse of men stood amazed, silent spectators of the whole transaction.
There was a transplanted American, Esther Reed. She actually wrote letters, as did many of these women, that revealed a real savvy, subtle take on politics. And the one that was amusing to me was she wrote asking about Benjamin Franklin on different occasions, and he was in London, and she had friends in London. And basically, she portrays him as a guy, as a politician who's got his finger in the wind.
She does indeed. When she came to America, she wrote to her brother asking, which way does Dr. Franklin go? Is he waiting for the wind to blow? She did have a great sense of humor about it. So did a lot of these women.
Yes, they here and there amuse themselves with gossip. One of the funny stories was Martha Washington adopting a tomcat in sort of the dead of winter when she's with George and the troops, and she called him Hamilton.
Right, because Hamilton and tomcats resembled each other.
The young and handsome then, Alexander Hamilton, kind of had a reputation. There's one woman's name that appears on the Declaration of Independence.
That's right, Mary Catherine Goddard. She was a newspaper woman, and she was a printer. And by the time the signers of the Declaration of Independence were ready to actually print up the Declaration with their names attached, by that time they had been run out of Philadelphia by the British. They were in Baltimore, and they went to a woman, Mary Catherine Goddard, to have the Declaration printed. And she very bravely printed her own name at the bottom. So she is a signer as well.
Reading this and some of the political views of the women, you wonder only one thing, and that is you wonder if it might have been better had they had more influence. And I'm thinking in particular of Abigail Adams, and she's writing her husband. Part of the news was that a group of African Americans, she called them Negroes, were possibly planning a mutiny. And then she went on to say
that she sympathized with them, because how could America be talking about freedom when you were depriving slaves of freedom? And she was a great opponent of slavery from the beginning.
And she ends it with, "You know my mind upon this subject."
You know my mind upon this subject. I think that he probably knew her mind on all subjects. Abigail Adams was not at all shy about letting him know what she thought. And every so often, John Adams would do such a stupid thing. You know, he's off in France. She's trying to keep body and soul together. And he tells her that he admires the French ladies. I mean, please. But she quickly got off her retort, which was, well, American ladies would be admirable if they were allowed to have a good education, too.
I'm Renee Montaigne, NPR News.
In 2008, author Carl Anthony was working alongside a team of historians putting together the first First Ladies Library website for the First Ladies Library in Canton, Ohio. He spoke with NPR's Scott Simon.
I have to tell you first, I try and make it a point not to use that term, First Lady. I find it outdated.
Well, it may be, but it's part of a tradition that goes back to Dolly Madison's funeral, at least, 1848, and there's some evidence of it being in use a little bit earlier. And then when we have our first bachelor president, and they don't know what really to call his niece, because she's not a president's wife
this
or a president's lady. James Buchanan. Harriet Lane was called in the press the First Lady, and it's stuck ever since then.
Is there some analogy to be made where the presidents of the United States have been concerned that the spouses who've been alongside them have paid